So we've been on a bit of a series here at ICL about Genesis, and next week I'm going to speak from Genesis 12, where the Lord calls Abraham to leave his country and go to a place that he says he will show him. And it takes some real faith, it takes a real step out into the unknown to go and do that. And kind of connected with that, we just felt that maybe today it's good to have some space to just personally reflect about faith, about our own life journeys, things that we're facing and so on. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a mixture of reflection, of some a little bit of teaching, hopefully some discussion if you're feeling up for some discussion. We're going to look at some Bible passages and yeah, let's just see where we go over the next three quarters of an hour or so. And really, we don't want it just to be Helen and I at the front. So we will kick off. Let's just pray. Then we're going to have a very, very brief video clip. And I don't think there's any sound to it, by the way. So I don't think there is. I can't remember. But but let's just pray. We're going to pray for Jay. As many of you know Jay, he's just gone with a team to Bangladesh to do some research and work amongst the refugees there. So I think it's good that we pray for him today. And let's just pray for one or two things around the world as well as we begin this session together. You've seen the news, but sad news about that Canadian hockey team, so many of them being killed. Good to pray for them. Hungary has elections today, and there's a lot of tenseness around that. So let's just pray and lift up these things to the Lord. Father, I thank you that we have the freedom to worship you. Thanks for the rest of the churches in the Leiden area and throughout South Holland. And pray your name be lifted up today. Father, thank you for the fact that we gather as an international church, people from all around the world. And Lord, we thank you for the time that Jay was with us. And we pray that you'd be with him and his colleagues as they are in Bangladesh over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Give them wisdom, give them safety, give them insight from you. Lord, you know what they need. And we pray that they would have a very real sense of your closeness and your guidance with them, Lord. Father, we want to lift those who are grieving today because of loss of loved ones in this accident that has happened in Canada. Lord, we just pray for them, Lord God, that comfort will come. You are the God of all comfort. And we pray, just touch the families, touch the friends, touch all of those who are involved. And we just lift that situation to you, Father. Lord, I thank you that you are the Lord of the nations, and we just want to lift the nation of Hungary to you today as they go to election, and as many people maybe within the country and outside it are kind of worried about how things are going to be. We lift that land to you. Thank you that you went to the cross for the people of Hungary, and Lord, we lift that nation before you this day, and Lord, for that situation and others that we see in the news, we pray that Holy Spirit, you will guide us and enable us to pray. To see that you are in charge of all things ultimately, and that we can lift this world to you. And Father, just give you this time now, Lord, wherever we feel with the whole subject of faith and so on, Lord, I pray for each one of us this day that you'd speak to us in a fresh way, Lord. Amen. Video, if possible. You know, when I initially saw that clip, because I was trying to find a clip, I thought it was going to finish at the moment when he went, ah! And I thought it was someone doing like a really ironic thing. And but of course, it jumps, and then there is a bit of solid ground to land on. And those who are Indiana Jones fans will remember that clip in one of the movies where he's got to supposedly walk over this gap to get over to the Holy Grail. And he's got to take a step of faith. And of course, there is a bridge there, but it so looks like the opposite rock face. And it takes that stand. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith and not by sight. And he wrote those words in the context of the ongoing persecution and a very real possibility of losing his life because of his following Jesus. But, you know, is faith just for the scary moments? Is it for just the big life decisions of our lives? What is living by faith about? And is it just for all those crazy people who are like are missionaries or are church pastors and so on? But normal people don't do the living by faith thing, do they? It's just for sort of some special elite somewhere. I don't think the Bible shows that. We're all called to be people who live by faith and not just by sight. In Hebrews 11, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And a few verses later, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and He rewards those who earnestly seek him. So it's not just about belief that there is a God, but also that, that God wants to interact with people. The word for faith is a word pistis, and it means to be persuaded. And it's the same word from which we get the word trust and the way we get the word belief in the New Testament. They all root to, or the, it's the root for these different words. And in a way, we're all persuaded by something. I recently completed an online course about humanism. And it's really interesting interacting with people from that belief system. They are persuaded by something. And it was interesting, at one stage I brought in the Bible definition of the word faith. And it was fascinating to have people going, that's a very interesting definition, never heard of that before. So it was like they were this, their view was faith basically means a leap in the dark based on nothing. And I was saying, no, actually the Bible word is about being persuaded. That actually the persuasion is based on something. So what are we persuaded about in our lives? Is it our circumstances? Is it God's word? Is it what other people have said? And so on. And so we're going to kind of unpick that a little bit, hopefully all together, between now and 12:30. A few weeks ago, John Andrews was with us, and he spoke about Elijah. And there's that moment in 1 Kings where, you know, they're at the Mount Carmel, and there's this incredible victory, this incredible wow moment where the God of Israel reveals himself and fire comes down and everybody goes, oh, Jehovah's really God, okay, and Baal's a load of nonsense and Ashtaroth, no, forget it. And it's an amazing moment. It's just like, come on, you know. And then the next day, he's running for his life because Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. Or Peter, one of the passages we're going to read, Peter walking on the water. How cool a story is that of faith? I tell you, years ago, we were in Galilee. I tried walking on the lake. I sank. I didn't begin to sink, like it says in the passage. I sank. You know, it was warm, thankfully. But it's an amazing story. And yet, this is the guy who, at a later date, denies Jesus 3 times. So faith, doubt, life, how does all that work out?
That one. Okay, so we're going to play a song for you. So we're going to play Oceans. Is that possible? Thank you. And one of the things we wanted to create for you today was just a bit of space, just some time to reflect, maybe to hear from God afresh. I don't know why you came this morning, what was in your heart, but God wants you to be here. And we're glad you're here. It's good to be together. But you know, so often when we come to church, we can spend time looking at the back of someone's head and then be very busy with our own thoughts. And actually, the Lord is powerful. God is the God beyond creation. And this God wants to speak to you today, wants to speak to you. He's got a word for you, but we have to give him space to speak. And so sometimes just maybe being still, listening to a song, just allowing the words to touch you, maybe that's a good beginning. So as we listen to the song, we're going to, after we've done that, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to use the paper, so you're going to fold it in 4. So maybe if you just do that now, fold it so there are 4 quarters. And you're going to be using that to write some response on it. It's not to be given to anyone else. You just take it home with you when you've finished. Okay, are we ready? Okay, so let's just, when you maybe get you a chance to finish the folding, let's just listen to the song and be open maybe to what God might want to say to you today. Okay, I'm just going to pray and then we're going to just have some time to respond. Father God, we need you. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. We need your help. We need you touching our lives. Lord, we thank you that we can come with all of the things that concern us. Lord, the things that make us feel that we're climbing a mountain and we're never quite getting there. And Lord, so often we forget that your hand is there to pull us and to push us from behind, that you surround us. And Lord, I thank you that you call us to walk on the water, to trust you. And so Lord, as we talk about faith today and as we share our ideas, as we write some things, Lord, would you spark fresh faith in us today? Abba, Father, Papa. That's how much you love us, that we can call you Daddy. And no matter how far we feel we are from you, you stand, God, ready to receive us with your hands wide open. And you just say, come, come. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us to know that, God, if we run from you, you see us. And you're always there to pull us back. And we're so grateful. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so in the top left-hand part of the piece of paper, maybe write some things down that you are believing the Lord for. Maybe there's some things that you are really asking God for, that you are know that you need God to touch some area of your life, that if God doesn't turn up, maybe you're kind of, there's a great word in English, you're scuppered. You can always imagine what that sounds like if you don't know the word. You know, like things are not going to work out. You need God to come. So in that top corner, what are you believing God for? Might only be one word that you can think of. Maybe you're not in the habit of asking God much at the moment. Maybe it feels like God's a bit silent and it's like, well, I don't know if God's there or if he's going to listen. This is where trust comes. So maybe out of trust, you're going to write something down in that corner. And on the top right-hand corner, to write some things down that maybe you are finding it hard to believe or to trust or to have faith about. So maybe there are some things that you, in contrast to what you're believing God for, that you just think, I can't see how God is going to come through on that. Maybe you're struggling with doubt. Maybe there's some things that you're afraid of. Maybe there are just things that you've heard spoken over your life and you think, you know what? I can't see that happening. Write it down because we're going to offer those things to God. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a few minutes just to write it down. So in the top left-hand corner, things that you are believing God for, and the top right-hand corner, things that you're finding it hard to believe or trust or have faith about. Okay, let's just pray about those things, shall we? Lord, we want to give the things that have been written down to you. Lord, you know them anyway. But Lord, I thank you that as we bring them to you in faith, God, that actually that reminds us that we can trust you. That, Lord, your heart for us is that we are in relationship with you. And so often, God, that we can become hard-hearted because we forget that our God loves us and is intimately interested in everything to do with us. Lord, we offer the things that we are believing you for. Those areas where we know that if you don't come, God, that somehow maybe we finished. Or maybe it's a job or a relationship challenge or healing or a financial concern. God, or some situation that we just believe is too big, but we know that we need you. Lord, would you come? Would you remind us that you are the God of the universe? We come in faith. And Lord, for those things that we are struggling to believe for, those things that maybe we have doubts about, those areas where we find it hard to trust, Lord, thank you that you are so willing to deal with our doubts. Lord, it doesn't worry you or concern you. You don't reject us when we have questions. So Lord, we lift it to you, and we pray that in the midst of those struggles, that we would sense your compassion, we would sense your love, and we would have hope that would rise afresh, and that we would know what it means to wait patiently for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Just got two questions that are on the screen. And I wonder, maybe have a bit of interaction. If you do speak, should we throw the microphone around you, or should we just, maybe just speak in a loud voice so everyone can hear you? So the first question is, what helps you to have faith in the Lord in your daily life? So has anyone got any thoughts they wanted to share about that? What's helping you to have faith? Is there anything specific that helps you, you can share with the rest of us? Music, okay, thank you. Yeah, so music, how does music help you? I'll come round and then we can hear you.
I think music helps you to focus on the Lord. Okay. For me, it works perfect, so, yeah.
That's great. Thank you. Anything else?
For me, it's previous experiences. So because it's a walk with God, and sometimes when I'm in a particular valley or in a situation, when I think back of what God has brought me through or what he's done in the past, it kind of renews my faith in him that he did it before, then he will do it again.
Yeah, thank you. Let's hear just from two more people. Two more things anyone wants to share? Helps you? Yeah.
The Word of God. Sometimes I have read a sentence, just one sentence, like, call upon me when you're afraid, something like that, and I will save you and you will honor me. I don't know which text it is, but it helped me a great deal when I was very ill. And it was, God kept his promise.
Okay, and then what makes it a challenge? What makes having faith a challenge for you? Is anyone brave enough to share? Okay, what's got other struggles maybe? He's got the mic.
Actually, it's all the things in the news when certain people say very bold statements that are very opposite to what God says and what I think is. And then I start the doubt starts creeping in and I find myself mulling over it. And that's very dangerous to me.
Okay, thank you.
It's a challenge when it takes longer than I want it to take.
Yes. Yeah. Anyone relate to that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else want to talk about the challenges? Because it's good to hear from each other, isn't it? Yeah, that's from these two. Yeah.
Also just busyness in life. So then I lose track of God.
Right. Yeah, thank you. And someone else? Okay, well, let's hear from Herman and then Christine.
What I find a challenge is things you cannot control. So things you do control, you're just in control. Sometimes like, okay, I cannot do anything about it. So yeah. I have to trust God. That's the only option. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
That's great. Anyone else? Good. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Now, one or two people mentioned the Word of God. And what we're going to do is we want to read a couple of passages to you and just allow the story to speak into your life. And so the first passage, and you might want to just write this down, the reference in the, well, the bottom left corner or the bottom right corner, doesn't really matter. And then you can look it up again later. Luke 5, verses 17 through to 26. And so as I read this to you, just maybe write down a couple of things. What strikes you from the passage, if anything? And what specifically does it say about faith? And for this story, I want you to imagine it's a packed house. Okay, it's like the ultimate borrow or something in someone's, you know, Wohnzimmer, and it's just crazy full of people. And Jesus is right at the middle of that. And there's some guys who really want to get their friend to Jesus, but it's impossible because there's just this massive amount of people. And maybe it's a hot day and all kinds of stuff. And just try and get ourselves into that scene, because for many of us, this story is very familiar. But let's see what the words might say to us. So Luke 5, verse 17. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. But when they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now the Pharisees and the teachers of law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he took it up in front of them. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." So anything strike you from the passage? Anything particularly about faith? Maybe you just want to write something down. I'll make a couple of comments and then Helen's going to read a second passage to us. Is there anything anyone wants to share from the passage? Anything struck anyone? It's okay not to say something. Inga? Yep. Don't apologize.
I wrote, "What do you find hard to believe or to trust God for?" I wrote down, I sometimes pray for people and I don't see the answers coming. So that makes it difficult for me to keep on praying and to believe and that prayers will be answered. So with the scripture that you just read, what struck me was the faith and determination of the friends of the paralyzed man. So it really encourages me to continue and to be more determined.
Persevere,
in prayer.
Because they just couldn't see a way through initially, could they? And maybe lots of people have gone, "Oh, well, we'll do another day." But these guys, it's a great story, maybe not for the house owner, but it's just, I love this story. It's just full of humor, isn't it? You know, they're up on the roof, they move it all, there's stuff falling through. So Jesus's hair and everyone else isn't full of a halo, it's full of plaster or whatever. And, you know, they lower this guy down and it says, he saw their faith and he says, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." It's an amazing story about how they push through. Micah, you can see.
You've got people who color outside of the boxes and the people who always stay within lines. I'm one of these stay within lines. So I'm always amazed by this story. And it really, ever since I was young, that I thought, "Oh, they just damaged that roof." And then Jesus says, he praises their faith. So there is boldness, and it's sometimes it's opposite to what. It's very amazing, this story. Or every time again, I am amazed.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So Jesus doesn't even say, hey, we'll pay for it later or anything, does he? So just like, it's a great story. So anyone else soon? If not, we'll go to the next. Yeah.
For me, it's just so clear that God does what glorifies him, right? So there's all these people. He could have healed this guy next to the street, but this guy was healed in front of all these people and also the Pharisees to show his glory.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's so often, sometimes maybe we have a challenge and we think, Lord, how are we ever going to see this? But actually, even in the midst of our stumbling at times, because let's be honest, sometimes we maybe feel we stumble by faith and not by sight. But actually, God gets glorified and these people are spoken to. And also, Jesus tackles some really dodgy theology as well. Amongst other things, many of them would believe that this guy was ill because he was a sinner. Well, Jesus tackles right into that. So you know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He heals the guy. It's not saying that this guy was sick because of sin, but it cuts through all that nonsense thinking as well. And that's what faith can do as well, as that gift of faith from God. It can cut through maybe all kinds of misconceptions, doubts, discouragements, and so on that we may have.
Okay, so we're going to read another passage, which is Matthew 14, 22 to 33. If you've got it on your phone, you might want to look it up or just open the Bible. And before I do that, I've just got two questions. So the first one is, as Annie's mentioned before, what strikes you from this passage? In other words, what hits you when you read the passage, that kind of maybe afresh? So what's important to you from the passage? And what does it show about faith? So these two questions, what's important for you in the passage, and what does it show about faith? Okay, so I'm just going to read it to you, and then follow it in your own Bible if you want to. Okay, so it's Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So just take a few minutes just to write down some things that struck you from the passage. What's kind of the important thing? What did you get from that passage? And what does it tell you about faith? Okay, just finish the sentence you're on. Whilst that's happening, has anybody got anything they want to share from that passage? So what, first of all, what struck you from the passage? Andy, you'll come around the microphone. I'll go around this way.
Okay, so reading the passage, what struck me is that you should look up to Jesus, and that if you look down, you are going to sink. And looking down could be anything, like looking at how big the problem is, and seeking power from anywhere aside God, and, you know, just magnifying the problem. But if you look up to Jesus, then the problem can be solved and your faith can be built. Amen.
Yes, it struck me, the theme of water. I had a dream last night that I was walking on water the whole time with other people. And I forgot it. So when the word was spoken, I thought, hey, I had this dream. And what strikes me is that Jesus is the one that is showing us to walk on water. And he says, come, come. And that gives me faith that he just says, come. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, isn't it? It's invitation. It's an invitation from God. Herman.
I was wondering, like in one sentence he says, why did you doubt, you have little faith? Is it possible to still have faith while you're doubting certain things in your life?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's this dichotomy, in a way, this challenge and this contrast of having faith and at the same time often doubting. Yeah, was there something back there? Want to say something?
I just noticed Peter was already walking. I mean, he is just an ordinary man, just like us. So if God can work through Peter, then he can also work through us to do these amazing things.
I thought it was really interesting when it said that immediately Jesus reached out his hand. So, like, even though Peter was doubting, he didn't hesitate to save him.
Instantaneous, isn't it? Yeah, great. Yeah.
For me, the question of Peter was striking that he said, Lord, if it is you, and it a little bit sounds like, I don't know, Herod at Jesus' trial, that if you're the Son of God, now, show us something. And probably Peter was, in this case, more interested about the proof of God's supernatural power than knowing God's character more. And I think if we think about our walk in faith, it's very important to know the other, because he got some proof about God's supernatural power, but then when the wind came, he didn't have, his confidence in his character that Jesus will keep him on the water as well.
It's having both, isn't it? It's trusting in God's, that God will supernaturally turn up. What about something about faith? Is there anything else anybody wanted to say about what struck them about faith? Yeah, Nietzsche.
What struck me was in the beginning that I can't follow Jesus' strategy. He withdraws at a moment that they might need him, and when he comes, they do not even recognize him. So within the storm of our lives, we kind of can't figure out who God is, where he is, what he does, why he does it. So, and that struck me. Don't know if it really has to do with faith, but you think you can figure out how God has to do it, and he does it completely different.
I think that people, we talk about faith when Peter gets out of the boat and his faith of getting out of the boat. But I think he did have faith the whole time. But his faith changed from how he was able to walk on water when he started to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. So he did still have faith that Jesus could, in fact, save him. So he still had faith that he was in control, that Jesus was in control. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
One of the things I love about the passage, I mean, it's just awesome. I don't even miss it. He began to sink. Have you ever tried to begin to sink? Go and try it afterwards. We'll come and watch you at the Vliet. Yeah. Go and try and begin to sink. It's impossible. So even in that, there's something supernatural going on. And I don't think it's just playing with the English words. I think even in the original context, you can't begin to sink. You either sink or you, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the key things as well for what some of the feedback I've had from you, but also thinking about that we need to get our strength from God, don't we? And I think like Dinci was talking about with the storm comes, and so often you think, well, where are you, God? Because this is not going the way I want. And I've got a nice plan, and if it could just work out like this, then I know you're with me. And actually God upsets so often our plans, doesn't he? Jesus withdraws, and that isn't what we expect. We expect him to kind of be with us. And maybe some of you feel like that at the moment, that it feels like Christ has withdrawn somehow and you're kind of on your own. And yet this reminder is that, out of unexpected circumstances, that the Lord turns up. He comes. And it's also, I think, not just about getting our strength from God, but it's also about the fact that the Lord wants a response from us. So Peter says, Lord, if you call me, I'll come. And, often we expect God to work without us really doing anything. We know God's sovereign, we know God loves us, but we don't often position ourselves repeatedly in a place where we're going to keep hearing him. Because sometimes disappointment gets in, doesn't it? Yeah, we just think, oh, you're weary. And that's why we need one another. That's why community is so important, that we hold each other up and that we strengthen each other, and we're vulnerable enough to say, I'm doubting. I don't even know if God exists anymore because I'm struggling so much. And it's okay, because often you'll find someone else who says, look, I'm with you. I'm going to pray for you. And until you get stronger, I'm going to stand with you. And because I know you'll do it for me. And that's why the Lord, in his graciousness, put us together. And that's so important. And I think the other thing is also that, of course, when we do focus on our circumstances, as been mentioned before, that that's often when we sink. And Jesus says, you know, oh, you little faith. And the word in Greek is oligopistos, which means low in quality. So that you've actually, sorry, quantity, that you don't have much. And this same word is actually in Matthew 17 as well, in verse 20 to 21. So you see that this word idea of it's, you just don't have much. You don't actually have much faith. And often we can think actually all we need is a small amount of faith to move a mountain. So actually we don't really need much faith in one sense. But actually our faith is not dependent on us. It's dependent on God and God giving us a gift of faith. So often I think we can become dull. You know, we're not hanging around God, you know, we're not really putting ourselves in that position where we're hearing him because we think, you know, I'm weary. I'm life's not going the way I want. And actually we need the Holy Spirit's help to come afresh to God. So I think it's also the whole thing as well of Jesus saying to him, you know, why did you doubt? Why did you waver between two positions? And that's often what we do, isn't it? We waver between, yeah, I'm really with you, God, and then, no, I'm not. And we're sort of in this place where we're just very confused. And it's often, I think, about a choice. You know, will we choose to follow God? Will we choose to trust him, even when we don't see the answer? And it's again, I've been reminded again about Lamentations 3, about waiting patiently for the Lord. And maybe that's a fresh word for some of you today. Be patient, because God will come through.
So, is faith dependent on the Lord, or is faith dependent on us? And how do we answer that question? Well, one simple way is to say yes. Let's go to coffee. Okay? So, I just want to read a few more Bible verses to you. And just let these... You see, faith is not a vague leap in the dark, despite what some people think. That it's not just, just maybe something out there. It's based on revelation of Jesus Christ, revealed to us through Scripture and the Holy Spirit speaking into our lives about it. He's the Spirit of truth. So it's not based on just something vague. I get it. There's a lot of people with a worldview who don't believe there is a God and so on. So, of course, this seems crazy. But it isn't a leap in the dark. But let me just read a few verses from Scripture. Romans 5, 1-2. You've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And so we boast in the hope of the glory of God. A few chapters later, Romans 10. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith doesn't come by us whipping it up. It doesn't come because, you know, that particular teacher that we see on a Christian TV channel gives it to us. It comes from God. And of course, teachers can be used to help us, of course. We need to have discernment to know where is it something from the Lord, where is it not. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of people, but on the power of God. That's where our faith comes from. And as I say, teaching can help us. Reading books can help us. Some, Christian TV programs can help us. But let's ensure that it's coming from God. It's not because you put your hand on that screen, and it's not because you send even more money in if you feel manipulated to do so, and that's going to give you faith. Now, if it's in your heart to sow into a ministry, you do that because the Holy Spirit shows you that. And that can be faith in itself. But actually, we've got to have our faith from the Lord. That's so, so vital. Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And listen to this, this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. So even being saved, even knowing Jesus, it isn't down to us, it's from him. But also, Paul writes, when he writes about gifts of the Holy Spirit in a different number of different places, but on one occasion in 1 Corinthians 12, he writes about, to another, faith is given by the same Spirit. This isn't the same as salvation faith. Because the way the passage is written is implying that actually it's not necessarily given to everyone, and even to anyone it's given to, not necessarily at all times. that there is that sense of faith in Christ, but also, along with other gifts of the Holy Spirit can give us, in particular situations, a specific gift of faith. And based on that, we move forward in whatever it might be. So three things I was thinking from our lives. So back, that's ages ago. Back in 2000, when we felt the Lord calling me to give up my teaching job and basically to go to nothing, that took some faith. But it was a gift of faith. It wasn't our faith. It was from him. And to pick up on what Herman was saying a bit earlier, I don't believe faith is the absence of doubt. I don't believe faith means that there's not going to be times where actually we're a little bit like Peter on the water. We may waver a bit, but we're still crying out to Christ and trusting him. Remember that occasion where the guy said, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief? I don't think he lacked faith. He was just being real about where he was at. And we had those moments. And I remember having left my teaching job, going back one time into the staff room one lunchtime and sat chatting with staff. And someone said, so how are you doing? I said, I'm all right, thanks. How are you? And they said, no, but how are you really doing? I was like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, thanks. No, but how are you doing financially? I was like, oh, right, okay, that question. I said, we're okay. Oh, because we're kind of all expecting you're going to have to come back having done this crazy thing, giving your job up and so on. And I said, no, it's all right. God's looking after us. And it was tight at times, but it was okay. And I remember her saying something like this. She said, I wish I could have great faith like that. And I said, it's not my great faith. It's faith in a great God. And that's the difference. It's not about my faith. And likewise, when we moved here, 11 and a half years ago, that was a faith moment. We had a gift of faith for that. Church wasn't in a place at the time to be able to pay us a full salary. We didn't have anywhere to live, etc., etc. There's a whole story we can talk about that. Again, it wasn't from us. And there were moments after we'd said, yes, we're coming, we're on the way, we went, oh God, what have we done? I remember flying over a couple of weeks after we'd said yes to coming, and I was cycling around the Mirovike because that's where the kids were going to go to school, just going, okay, God, great. And so I want to encourage you that there may well be doubts, you know, but actually it's trusting him, and that's why it's good to have to journey with other people as well. And maybe you get given a word of encouragement to ring someone else up because maybe they're in a place of doubt. I remember our old pastor from the UK ringing me up during that time I was here. And he said, Andy, how are you doing? I said, do you want the nice British answer or do you want the truth? And he said, well, I rang for the truth. I said, okay, I'm struggling. I'm thinking, Lord, have we heard you? He goes, I thought so. I felt prompted to ring you. And just talked it through with us and things that we'd sensed from the Lord. And he said, you've either had the biggest set of coincidences I've ever heard or God has spoken. But he said, at the end of the day, there's only one way you're going to find out, isn't there? And I said, yep. And he says, you know what that is, isn't it? I said, yep. He said, you're going to have to move, aren't you? Yep. So, well, here we are 11 and a half years on, and I think it's worked out. Thank you, Lord. And so God can give you a gift of faith, but that doesn't say anything about Helen and myself. That says everything about him. But maybe the only thing it says for ourselves or any of us is we need to respond, of course, which is some second verses I'll just read very quickly, or one or two. Think about that first story. The friends took action. They broke through the roof. They got right outside the box, as Micah referred to. There was an active part they had to play. Jesus said on one occasion, Mark 11, have faith in God. And it's something that's active. It's not passive. And we can ask him for that gift. Again and again, Jesus occasions, stand up and go, your faith has made you well. Speaking of the Samaritan who'd been a leper and come back to thank Jesus. Another occasion, the man begging near Jericho who was blind, receive your sight, your faith has made you well. Again, gifts which comes from God. And we don't have time, it's almost 12:30, to open the whole area of faith and healing and all of that. You know, and as a community, we want to pray for those who are sick and trust the Lord to touch people's lives. But we also walk in that balance. For example, Paul himself, who saw many people healed, wrote to Timothy on one occasion, take some wine because of your frequent stomach illnesses. Now, we can go, well, Paul wasn't being very full of faith. Well, hold on. If the Lord has used you to see more people healed than Paul did, then maybe you can make that comment. But actually, that's not a reasonable comment, you know, because actually he was a man of faith. And yet also at times thank God for medicine. Thank God for medical care. So there's a balance. So we can't even begin to open up that whole topic, though I throw it out there. 1 Corinthians 16, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. You know, that song we played at the beginning, one of the lines I scribbled down says, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. That seems such a contradictory sentence, doesn't it? So, you know, as I say, if we go and try and stand on the Vliet now with our cup of coffee, the coffee's going to get cold very quickly and we're going to get very wet. But this metaphorical image, really, Lord, that it just feels everything's just gone to liquid. Everything I knew has changed. Like the mountains have disappeared. The landscape's completely changed. That we can trust him. Paul writes on one occasion about the armor of God, amongst others, he says, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And likewise to Paul, to Timothy, young leader, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lastly, the reference I make to is James, where it says, James says, faith without actions is dead. Faith without actions is philosophizing. Faith without actions, it's just having some armchair theology. It's not applied into our real lives. As we draw towards a close, one other question. How do we avoid either fatalism, well, it's all just in God's hands, or extreme faith teachings, kind of name it and claim it, and using God as a mantra and demanding that God has to do this and that? Seem to be the two opposites. Helen?
Thinking about this question, all these two questions, and coming to the conclusion essentially that we need to be full of the Holy Spirit, feeding ourselves on God's word so that we have good theology. That's important. And also recognizing that people do go through tough times. You know, that often if you've been very used to a prosperity kind of gospel where there's not much space for fear, doubt, or sickness, you actually look in the Bible and you see there's many, especially in the Psalms, many examples where people struggled so much, but they worked it through and got to this place of saying, God, I will trust you no matter what, despite my circumstances, I will trust you. And I think it's about repositioning ourselves today. So maybe that you are in this place where you think, I really need you to turn up, God. And I would say I'm in that place right now. I need God to turn up in a few situations, things I've been praying for. And it feels like almost on, you know, ever have those situations when all sides you feel hard pressed. And I feel like I'm in that space right now, that I really need God. Lord, would you just come in these things I'm praying for, about people I really care about, or in my own life, situations where I thought, God, would you just change that? Like I feel bored with myself sometimes, you know, and you feel like bored coming with the same things to God. And I just think, I'm so bored. God, with my own voice, would you just come and do something fresh? And I realized, you know what I need is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I need to be freshly touched by God. And maybe that's something that you can pray for today. And we'll just, as we finish off, we'll just have some time to respond. So I think the key thing as well is, if you want to jot this down as a Bible reference to go back to, Ephesians 5 verse 18 is be filled with the Holy Spirit. But actually what it says is be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-off experience. We have to keep going back to God and be freshly filled with him. Andy.
Amen. So we're going to pray to finish. Well, I hope something today, just even a little seed of some kind, just sows into freshly encourage you. As Helen says, there are times when we feel hard-pressed, and we're both in that place right now, and just various things that we believe, we're needing to believe God for. And we know he will come through, but there are moments we just think, God, where are you? And so we just say that to be honest. And also, in a way, hopefully to encourage you. We don't stand up here as the faith gurus. We don't stand up here, we've got it all sorted. And actually we said, Lord, can we really do this seminar on faith today? Really? But I just want to close with these words. Beloved, building yourselves up in your most, in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Self, and the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Self. That's the problem, isn't it? The unholy self is really, that was the ultimate whoops. Yes. Oh, holy me. So in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the problem. Let's get off ourselves. You know, and I want to encourage us to build ourselves up in him. Don't beat ourselves up because we think we don't have enough faith. And there is an important difference between the two. Let's pray. come. Lord, I thank you. It says in James that Elijah was a person just like us. And yeah, he had all kinds of doubts and he ran for his life at one stage. And maybe we all relate to that bit. But Lord, also you worked through him powerfully at different times in his life. And Lord, if he was a person just like us, as we go into our workplaces this week, into the university, in the neighborhood where we live, at school, in our families, as we mix with colleagues and friends, whatever it is, Lord, thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, you want us to be people who are being filled with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask that you help us with that. For anyone here who feels overwhelmed by doubt right now, God, I ask there be that sense that you are there. Lord, for those who feel hard-pressed, Lord, and there are situations where they just don't see what the answer is right now, Lord, help us to keep trusting you, to not lean on our own understanding, to acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will make our path straight. So, Lord, I pray for that. Lord, as we have coffee time together and maybe people chat with one another and pray together, Lord, I ask where maybe even a special gift of faith needs to be released into people's lives for any particular circumstance. Lord, I pray that you will give that and you will guide and you will lead. In your name and for your glory. Amen. Hey, thanks, everybody. Don't feel you have to rush off. It is coffee time. And if you'd like someone to pray with you, please take that opportunity. Thanks. Have a good week.